Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Thanks for sticking around on this Tuesday morning. Parker Griffin coming up in the next hour, about an hour from now, the official Democrat response to the Jeff Poor Show. We'll hear from him, so please stand by for that. But joining us now, we do this on regular occasion, our friend from Montgomery, but he is a favorite of the program, favorite of the listeners, former State Senator Dick Brubaker on with us. Senator, good morning. How are you?
Hey, I'm great. Another beautiful, hot day in Montgomery, Alabama, but we're all still alive, and that's a blessing, so things are great.
Oh, you're still alive. No riverboat rumble incidents lately, I take it.
You know, some things, historical events, are, need to be treated as unique and respected, like the Edmund Pettus Bridge March and, Bloody Sunday. And to hear people glorify a drunken brawl started by four people from out of town as Bloody Saturday, just, I don't know whether to laugh or to cry. I mean, it's just so absurd.
I think absurd's a good word for it. Trying to milk it for something it's not. That's what it looks like is going on there to me, but what do I know? The election's come and gone. It's funny how that's kind of quieted down a little bit.
Well, yeah. I don't think anybody is, shocked by the fact that Stephen Reed got reelected. I think if you're going to try to beat an incumbent mayor, I think the opposition is going to have to start a lot earlier and try a lot harder than they did this go around. But on the other hand, hey, let's face it, Montgomery did lead the state economic development. I mean, $1.7 billion in new capital investments, a lot of money for a town the size of Montgomery. And, and the biggest problems Montgomery's got is the schools, and the way the government's set up right now, there's not a whole hell of a lot the mayor can do about it. The mayor doesn't have any direct authority over schools in Montgomery.
Right.
So that's the big problem nobody wants to deal with. And until we're going to keep losing population until somebody has the guts to deal with that. And that hadn't happened yet.
Well, tell me this on the politics side of this. I know he won, and he won by 20 points. I still, it wasn't an impressive win vote total wise. What do you think? How does this set him up in the future?
Well, first of all, and I don't want to disappoint people, but I'm going to disappoint some people, okay? I don't think he's done a bad job. But he still only had, out of 138,000 registered voters, we only had about 29,000 people show up to vote. So the first thing is, people in Montgomery just aren't interested. And I think the smart money, everybody keeps saying the mayor is going to run for Congress if the district is drawn in a way that suits him, which means he might run against me. I mean, so we'll see what happens.
Well, so that's been the speculation. Who could beat Stephen Reed? And guess where we always I talked to a lot of smart people. Guess who the name that comes up the most is?
Who's?
Dick Brubaker, that could beat Stephen Reed.
They don't think the incumbent. I think the incumbent congressperson will be in the mix. It will be a very hotly contested Republican primary.
Well, what if, what if they draw, because this seems to be where this could go, Senator, that they would draw the new first congressional district that would pit an incumbent against an incumbent. And then out of whole cloth, you have a new congressional district without an incumbent. And so Barrymore, Jerry Carl in the same district, and then they do whatever they do. The second district becomes without an incumbent in the district. That's where Stephen Reed, who could beat Stephen Reed? And I got to be honest, aside from you, the names we're coming up with, you know, would Lindy Blanchard, somebody like that, try it? Tim James, would he give it a run? I mean, as far as Republicans go, what do you think? I mean, you've given that any thought?
I don't think they're going to draw both incumbents out. I just don't think. I mean, I hope, listen, as far as just Dick Brubaker is concerned, that would suit me down to the ground, obviously. Because if I've got to run against Barry, you know, against Moore, you know, somebody I've always supported and voted for, that always complicates things. But I would love to run in a district where there's no incumbent. But, you know, we'll just see. I mean, we don't have to wait very long, and then we'll know. But it's going to be, I don't see anybody on the Democrat side that's going to challenge Mayor Reed if he decides to run, which means whoever the Republican is, whether it's me or somebody else, they're going to have to raise a lot more money because they'll have a contested primary and then a contested, very competitive general election.
Well,
so it'll be a lot of fun.
Let's look at Stephen Reed standing right now. Like I said, I don't think he had a really good mayoral election. I know he won by a big margin, but I mean, let's face it, he didn't exactly face the titans of politics when he ran. It was kind of a weak field, but also he didn't get a big number. Here's where he has his strength, and I don't know how much this applies. His father, Joe Reed, the Joe Reed machine is still a thing. It may not be what it once was, but
well, it depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about power within the Alabama Democratic Party, he just proved at their last meeting that he still runs that party lock, stock, and barrel, and that anybody that challenges him, he is told to shut up and leave the building. So I don't know. I think that if it's drawn competitively at all, I think a Republican has a good chance in that district. Now, if it's not drawn competitively, it's all going to, at the end of the day, depend on who can get the votes out. Now, in the last mayor's race, when you've only got 20% of the people voting, that's shows a lot of disinterest in what's going on in your city. I think you could say about the last mayor's race in Montgomery was it didn't inspire anybody.
No, it didn't. Well, tell me this, though. As far as kind of old Montgomery goes, and you know it well, but, I mean, what is their feeling, their attitude? The people that have been there a long time, their attitude about Steve Reed. I mean, he has a big deviation from what has been elected as mayor in that town. And I would think that if he runs for Congress, that's where he's got to own the city of Montgomery. Could somebody like you come in and take away some of those votes that he would get? And then you would, as a Republican, probably run up the score everywhere else.
Well, you know, I hope that's true. But, you know, Montgomery's a funny city. And, you know, I've held public office around here. I always thought I had good relations with Democrats and Republicans. I always tried to do what I could for anybody who asked me for help. But at the same time, because of the history here, you know, let's just put it this way. I'm not going to make any predictions about how the vote in Montgomery would go. But I will say this, I would contest it because you ask what old Montgomery thinks. Well, if you're an economic developer, you think things in Montgomery are great because a lot of money's being spent. There's, you know, Amazon's coming here, the big port, the container transshipment point is going to be built on the river in Montgomery. You know, there's some good stuff happening. But on the other hand, you hear constant complaints about the crime situation and police maybe not being as responsive as they used to be. But like everywhere else, Montgomery's had a hard time hiring police officers. I mean, that's true in Birmingham. That's true in Huntsville. It's true in New Orleans. So I think that what people want is someone who will look forward. I mean, I think the only time I hear old Montgomery types sounding resentful is when every time a problem in the city comes up, they want to blame it on Jim Crow and things that happened a long time ago, and not, you know, Joey Clark wrote a great article about it that appeared today. And yeah, a lot of things, bad things have happened in the past, but at some point we've got to move on and actually try to solve problems. Like what Montgomery needs to do, if they ever want to save the city and fix the schools, somebody's going to have to have the nerve to tell the legislature, we want a city school system. So the mayor can actually control what happens in Montgomery schools, because we're losing population because young people won't raise their families here. I mean, look at Maxwell. I mean, Maxwell is treating Montgomery like they're sending people on a hardship tour because airmen and officers don't want to bring their families here. And that's the problem. And so far, nobody's been willing to deal with it. Now, there is a way to deal with it, but it's going to be politically very bloody. Mayor's previous, to Stephen Reed, didn't want to touch it. And I don't think Mayor Reed wants to touch it because it's explosive. But if somebody doesn't fix the schools, I don't care how much economic development you get, the city is going to be on a long downhill slide. And that's just the truth.
Joined by former State Senator Dick Brubaker here on the program, potential congressional candidate. We'll see how the lines are drawn. Hey, let's move on to state matters. And here's the great irony, Senator. All throughout the 2023 legislative session, we heard the importance of putting money back and not getting too aggressive with tax cuts because economic bad times were coming. We needed to pinch pennies. You know, don't count our chickens before they hatch, et cetera, et cetera. And now, you know, since the end of the session, we found out that they're going to spend double on a prison up in Elmore County, that we're building a road in West Alabama, the West Alabama corridor. The cost on that keep going up and up and up. And then come to find out, through reporting Todd Stacey, Alabama Daily News, the ABC board getting interested in spending a little cash here on a new $100 million facility. It seems insane.
No matter what part. Well, let's face it. All that stuff about don't cut taxes, don't count your chickens. You know, we don't know what the future holds. In politics, I was in it for 20 years, and that's what we call a lie, a way to head fake the people because you want to spend that money. I mean, let's face it. Politicians wanted to keep that money so they could spend it. They didn't want to give it back to the taxpayers, which when you have a $1 billion surplus, seems to me it's what we should have done. So we're going on a spending spree, both with not fixing 65. We're going to build an incredibly expensive West Alabama corridor, which will benefit who? Thomasville? And this ABC, I don't know who came up with asking for $100 million warehouse now. I mean, they've been leasing in the past. Why would they want to buy space when you can lease it for nothing? I mean, there's a lot of vacant warehouse space available. And I mean, the idea that they have to build $100 million wholly owned state facility is just, it's almost like they're making fun of the taxpayers now.
Well, and I think there may be, it may be a lease in some way, but the details are not really clear to me. But it's still,
where did that $100 million figure come from? I mean,
yeah, they said, when they did the request for proposals, they said the contractor, to qualify, you have to have done so many $100 million projects in the last X amount of years. So that suggests, get ready, we're going to be spending $100 million or whatever this may be. But anyway, it's this bigger, broader point that we're lectured to by the governor. We're lectured to by the legislature about being wise with our money, being smart with our money, and then they turn around and do something completely antithetical to that.
Well, and why are we in the liquor business anyway? I mean, you can defend being on the wholesale side just to make sure that the state collects its taxes. But why are we still in the retail liquor business?
Because people in Montgomery have buddies who own strip malls who need tenants.
Well, exactly. And legislators from all over the state who go home to their constituent and talk about how conservative they are and talk about how they want small government. What we've got to start doing is electing people that will actually vote for small government. I mean, we didn't do meaningful tax cuts. We didn't refund anybody any money. And what we got is what you said, a state on a spending spree, undertaking huge public works projects, while at the same time, the gas tax is about to go up another penny on the gallon. I mean, it's just, at some point, we've got to hold conservatives, people who talk conservative, they've got to be called into account by their constituents, not by media types or by people that don't live in their districts, but their home folks need to start getting on them about the budgets they pass, the bills they vote for, and even more so, their conduct on the floor. I mean, where are the people filibustering and opposing this stuff? I didn't read a single article about a Republican-led filibuster in that whole session. I mean, did you?
No, well, it wasn't led. There were a few Republicans who participated in the Singleton/Smitherman filibusters throughout the year, but no, there wasn't one done by a Republican.
Well, you know, and that's different. That's changed. You know, Republicans, when they were in the majority, I remember lots of times when people like Phil Williams, Trip Pittman, modestly speaking, but in all sincerity, me, Paul Sanford, Bill Holtzclaw, when we thought the Republican majority was spending too much money or going off on a way they shouldn't go, you know, we would stand up and object. And what we've got for the last 4 or 5 years is Republicans singing kumbaya to each other while at the same time allowing Democrats to control the floor of the legislature 73% of the time in the Senate, which is what the media is. I mean, I'm supposing that figure is true. I mean, it's what the media reports.
Yeah, well, let me tell you.
It was a Republican supermajority allowing the Democrats to control the floor 73% of the time. That's crazy.
Well, we're way long here, but here the way we did that was I had one of our interns this summer go through the entire session and just clock it, going through with the videos because they put all the videos up of the sessions now, and just timing, created a spreadsheet, and we plugged in the time for each lawmaker, and by far and away, Roger Smith and Bobby Singleton leaps and bounds ahead of everybody else combined, dominated that chamber. But anyway, that's
what you doing. Highway projects does a low traffic West Alabama corridor take precedence over I-65?
Well, that's another Bobby Singleton. That's another Bobby Singleton thing. Hey, Senator, we've gone way long here, but
thanks for taking my call. I appreciate it.
Thanks for making time for us. Let's talk again soon. Former State Senator Dick Brubaker. We'll be right back. This is the Jeff Porch Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Singing song of the South. Sweet potato pie and I shut my mouth.